The following program is intended for mature audiences.
Sunday night. It's 9 o'clock. It's 9:03, actually. You are listening to WRAR 97.3 FM, Richmond Independent Radio, the City of Richmond's official emergency broadcast outlet. I am P. Swan, bringing you Can't Stop the Music, as I do on Sunday nights in this special time. Big shout out to DJ Carlito for a fabulous Bollywood Hindi... did I get it wrong? A Hindi film industry extravaganza?
Bollywood blowout.
Bollywood blowout, yeah. And I know I enjoyed it. And I think so did Carlito. He's schlepping his stuff on out of here. So, let's see. What do I need to tell you? I'm going to start with covers this evening. I've got some ranting later, as one of my friends said. We can redub this Can't Stop the Rant, but it's all for educational purposes. But we'll start with Jose with New York, New York, the favorite in the jukebox that at Nueva León in Chicago's South Side.
Cascada de luz, te quiero alcanzar, llegar a ser parte de ti, New York, New York, mis pasos a ti quiero encaminar. Al centro de tu corazón, New York, New York. Poder cantar en la ciudad del nunca dormir, tus rascacielos subir, siempre subir, tu música blues. Me hace estremecer. Descubro un sol distinto aquí, New York, New York. Se alcanzó en tu
tiempo aquí no habrá fronteras. Para mí, decide tú, New York, New York. Decide tú, New York, New York, New
Yeah. television shuts off at 2. What can a lonely rock and roller do? Ah, the bed's so big and the sheets are clean, and your girlfriend said you were 19, and the styrofoam ice bucket is full of ice. Come up to my motel room, treat me nice. I don't wanna make no late night New York calls. I don't wanna stare at them ugly grass mat walls. Chronologically, you know you're young, but when you kiss me in the club, you bit my tongue. I'll write a song for you. I'll put it on my new LP. Ah, come up to my motel room, sleep with me.
Schönsten war es doch zu Haus, und doch sollte mich einst in die Welt hinaus, und in der Ferne suchte ich mein Glück, verkennt den Weg zurück. Sie schenkte mir die Liebe und ihr Herz, doch es war ihr nur Tränen, Leid und Schmerz, denn ich verließ sie und damit mein Glück. Wer kennt den Weg zurück? Wer kennt den Weg zurück in jene Zeit, den Weg zurück in die Vergangenheit, den Weg nach Hause und zum ersten Glück. Wer kennt den Weg zurück? Am allerschönsten war es doch zu Haus, und doch zog's mich einst in die Welt hinaus, und in der Ferne suchte ich mein Glück. Wer kennt den Weg zurück? Wer kennt den Weg zurück in jene Zeit, den Weg zurück in die Vergangenheit, den Weg nach Hause und zum ersten Glück. Wer kennt den Weg zurück?
Tausende Familien, diese kommen rein zu gar nicht ohne Schmäh. Denn wo die wohnen, gibt's nichts anderes als Kaffee. Verpönt ist dort das Rauchen, was man hat, muss man verbrauchen. Das ist gar nicht mal so einfach ohne Schmäh. Denn in Brasilien gibt's nichts anderes als Kaffee. Kein Wein, kein Zitronensaft, kein Bier, kein Melonensaft. Selbst die Fachleute von heute stehen wie Kühe vor dem Tor. Der Landwirtschaftsminister wurde trist und immer trister, als er krank war und der Arzt verschrieb ihm Tee. Denn in Brasilien gibt's nichts anderes als Kaffee. Krokodile, die da wohnen, riechen auch nach Kaffeebohnen und der Dschungel dampft nach Kaffee ohne Schmäh. Denn in Brasilien gibt's nichts anderes als Kaffee. Kein Tee und kein Rebensaft, kein Rum, auch kein anderer Saft. Ob du Durst hast oder keinen, gibt's auf jeden Fall Kaffee. Was immer dort gekauft wird, ob man stirbt oder getauft wird, dem Kaffee gebührt das höchste Renommee. Denn in Brasilien gibt's nichts anderes als Kaffee. Denn in Brasilien gibt's nichts anderes als Kaffee.
In Brazil, they have a lot of coffee. The coffee song covered by Hildegard Knell in German. You could probably figure that out. Before that, Johnny Cash doing I Walk the Line in German himself. Len Wainwright covering himself with Motel Blues. And I have to say that has a good level of sleaze factor, and it makes me happy. Charlotte Gainsbourg and Calexico with Dylan's Just Like a Woman. And we start off with Jose Jose, New York, New York. It's 9:20 here at Can't Stop the Music. I am P. Swan, bringing you 2 hours of bubbly, cheesy goodness and a little bit of ranting this evening. I want to let you know that WRAR thanks founding WRAR thanks founding underwriter Exile, an independent, locally owned business serving Richmond's creative community for 23 years. Exile turns the trash culture of yesterday into the class culture of tomorrow by featuring unique gifts, clothes, jewelry, accessories, and housewares, both old and new, Manic Panic and Special Effects Hair Color. Exile is located at 935 West Gray Street. More information is available at 804-358-3348. So let's see what we've got here at Can't Stop the Music. We've got some classic, we've got some giggly stuff, we've got some surprises. We got some thinking about space, outer space, science, all that and more this week. But next, I want to let you know that next week, my dear friend Cliff Baldwin's going to be here from New York. And you may know Cliff from his collaboration with Davy Dead Hompson and under the guise of Hompson and Baldwin as a visual artist. But Cliff is also a super swell video maker and musician and sound artist. So we are going to feature a good deal of Cliff's materials and things that he thinks is just swell. And also get to have his delightful humor here with me. So I'm looking forward to that. We've been playing this for a little while, so he's going to get his giggling red head in here, and we're going to have fun. Well, I'm going to continue with Abby Lincoln, I Must Have That Man, and Nina Simone after that. And, you know, just this is the pleasant part of our program.
I'm so unhappy, left all alone. Ain't got nobody to love now. The man I long for is is not so strong for me. He's not an angel, but I don't care. Perhaps a change will come someday. Whatever he is, I wanna be his way. Don't want a mother, I don't need a friend. My heart is aching, it won't ever mend. I ain't much caring just where I will end, but I must have that man. An oven that's crying for heat. He treats me awful each time we meet. It's just unlawful how he can cheat, but I must have that man. He's hot as Hades, a lady's not safe in his arms when she's kissed. I'm afraid he's cooled off and maybe I'm rude off his list. I need that person, much worse and just bad. I'm half alive and he's driving me mad. He's only human, he can be had, and I must have that man.
I want a little steam on my my clothes. Please fix something up, Daddy, so they'll go. What's the matter, Papa?
Shouldn't hurt at all. You always take the sweetest rose and crush it till the petals fall.
Now, excuse me there, Mr. Carl Grayson. I'll tell his little girl all about the situation. Now, honey child, you know that you always seems to break the well, the very kindest sort of a heart with a hasty word that you just can't seem to recall. Honey child, honey baby, honey doll, honey lamb, honey pie, honey sugar face. So if, now, mind you, I says if this boy done broke your heart last night, honey child, honey baby, honey doll, honey pie, honey sugar face, it's because he loves you the most of all.
You shouldn't hurt at all. You always take the sweetest rose and crush it till the petals fall. You always break,
crunch,
the kindest heart with a hasty word you can't recall.
Get the roach up, son.
If I broke,
crunch,
your heart last night, it's because I love you most of all.
Things in life are free. The stars belong to everyone. They gleam there for you and me. The flowers in spring, the robins that sing, the sunbeams that shine, they're yours, they're mine. And love can come to everyone. The best things in life are free.
here. That man keeps me up at night. Oh gee whiz, that's why I can't eat a bite. Look at those flaming eyes, what flaming youth. Oh mister, yes mister, tell me the truth. Ain't he sweet, see him coming down the street. Now I ask you very confidentially, ain't he sweet? Ain't he nice? Look him over once or twice. So I ask you very confidentially, ooh, ain't he nice? Cast an eye in his direction. Oh me, oh my, that man's perfection. I repeat, don't you think he's kinda neat? And I ask you very confidentially, oh, but he's sweet.
Ain't she sweet? See her coming down the street. Now I ask you very confidentially, ain't she sweet? Ain't she nice? Look her over once or twice. Now I ask you very confidentially, ain't she nice? Just cast an eye in her direction. Oh me, oh my, ain't that perfection? She's real gone. Again I repeat, don't you think she's kind of neat? And I ask you very confidentially, ain't she sweet?
You know what, Hot Lips, I think you're real sweet. Every time I see you coming down the street, you move me. Now tell me something confidential. This is real confidential. Don't you think you're kind of sweet?
Well, you know, you're kind of nice.
Well, sometimes.
I've been looking you over more than once or twice.
Well, I didn't know
now
that.
I'm going to ask you, baby, very, very personally.
What's that?
Don't you think you're kind of nice?
Well, cast an eye in Pearl's direction. Me, oh my. Is this what you gentlemen class as perfection?
Honey, I repeat, I sure think you're sort of neat. And I ask you, baby, confidentially, ain't you sweet?
You know what, Hot Lips? I think you're sweet.
You know what, bud?
What?
I think you're sweet.
Oh, let me tell you something. I think you're a dog.
Honey, I'm telling you, you're delicious.
Oh, now listen, confidentially, ain't we sweet?
Oh, I love a good mutual admiration society. That is Pearl Bailey with Hot Lips Page and Ain't He Sweet. Palace Orchestra with Max Robb. Best things in life are free, and I hope most of my listeners got to enjoy that whole performance of the Palace Orchestra at the Maudlin Center last year. That was really the height of some of my musical experiences. I really enjoyed that. See, Spike Jones before that, You Always Hurt the One You Love. Nina Simone with her classic and much loved I Want a Little Sugar in My Bowl. And Abby Lincoln, I Must Have That Man. It is 9:37. I am P. Swan, putting our ear to the keyhole of culture here at Can't Stop the Music. I'll be here till 11 o'clock when then mixtape comes in. But we've got all kinds of things up. I'm getting that post up with the playlist. If you have something adoring and kind, you can call me at 804-649-9737. If you have any other kind of information, just keep it to yourself, won't you? Up next, Tom Lehrer, a staple here. It Can't Stop the Music.
I ache for the touch of your lips, dear, but much more for the touch of your whips, dear. You can raise welts like nobody else as we dance to the masochism tango. Let our love be a flame, not an ember. Say it's me that you want to dismember. Blacken my eye, set fire to my tie as we dance to the masochism tango. At your your command. Before you, here I stand. My heart is in my hand. Ugh, it's here that I must be. My heart entreats, just hear those savage beats, and go put on your cleats, and come and trample me. Your heart is hard as stone or mahogany, that's why I'm in such exquisite agony. My soul is on fire, it's aflame with desire, which is why I perspire when we tango. You caught my nose in your left castanet, love. I can feel the pain yet, love, every time I hear drums. And I envy the rose that you held in your teeth, love, with the thorns underneath, love, sticking into your gums. Your eyes cast a spell that bewitches. The last time I needed 20 stitches to sew up the gash you made with your lash as we danced to the masochism tango. Bash in my brain and make me scream with pain, then kick me once again and say we'll never part. I know too well I'm underneath your spell. So darling, if you smell something burning, it's my heart. Excuse me. Take your cigarette from its holder and burn your initials in my shoulder. Fracture my spine and swear that you're mine as we dance to the masochism tango.
I'm a loner, alone with neuroses and hate. Anger is a permanent character trait. My letter bombs are primed and they're ready to send. Would you like to have me as a friend? I'm a wound up whiner with a fetish for gums. I'm almost 50 and I live with my mum. I hope my nude picture doesn't offend. Would you like to have me as a friend? Had me, me mother says she wish she never had me. Had me, had me, would you like to have me as a friend? Would you like to have me as a friend? I'm a recovering alcoholic, I rarely leave my room. Peeping through the curtains in my dark costume. The voices in my head, oh, they'll get me in the end. Would you like to have me as a friend? I'd really like to mail you the picture that I drew. It's Kylie's body, but the head is you. I've asked you 50 times before, I'm asking you again. Would you like to have me as a friend? Add me, add me. Mother says she wish she never had me. Had me, had me. Would you like to have me as a friend? Would you like to have me as a friend? She never had me. Had me, had me. Would you like to have me as a friend? Would you like to have me as a friend? Here's a picture of me in my Nazi uniform, doing a trick with an egg that I like to perform. At a monster truck rally that my mom and me attend. Would you like to have me as a friend?
I've added Brittany and Paris and you and Tom. I'm going to find your address so I can visit you at home. I don't like people, but I like to pretend. Would you like to add me as a friend? Add me, add me. My mother says she wish she never had me. Add me, add me. Would you like to add me as a friend? Would you like to add me as a friend?
Well, you can have a cell phone, that's okay, but not me, 'cause I don't, 'cause I won't. Look, when I'm on the beach, I'm on the beach. No, you can't call me there. And when I'm on a walk, I'm on a walk. No, you can't call me there. And when it's breakfast time, breakfast time. What more can I say? I say, you can have a cell phone, that's okay, just not me. Well, someday there might be no more payphones. What'll I do then? Well, I'll tell ya, I'll just wait till I get someplace, then I'll call ya, or I'll write you a letter, or I'll come over to your house. Well, jump then, suppose you're late for a show. What about that? Well, aren't you gonna call the club? No, I'll just, no, if there's no more payphones, what are you gonna do? I ain't gonna use one of those things. I'll just show up. So they'll open the doors, there won't be no sound check. I didn't like sound check anyway. I'll get there about 9 o'clock, and that's right when we're supposed to start. So just walk on and we'll play. 'Cause you could have a cell phone, that's okay, but not me.
Yeah. Your molecular structure is really something fine. A first-rate example of functional design. Those cosmic undulations are steady coming through. Your molecular structure, baby. Your cellular organization is really something choice. Electromagnetism about to make me lose my voice. Got all my circuits open, my system's reading gold. Your cellular organization, baby, stop the show. Something swell, a high frequency modulated Jezebel. Thermodynamically, you're getting to me. Your molecular structure, baby. Ooh-wee.
Your molecular structure by who else but Mose Allison. Jonathan Richmond discussing cell phone use from Chumbawamba, Add Me, and we started out with Tom Lehrer, Masochism, Tango. I am P. Swan here at Can't Stop the Music, bringing you loads of bubbly, cheesy goodness, and hoping you're liking it. You can give me a call if you have something adorable to say at 804-649-9737. WRIR, that's what you're listening to. You can also stream us on the web, and some people are doing that, and we're happy to have them listening on from all over. And you can also check out our post. I've got that playlist up at WRIR.org. And, you know, sometimes I make some adjustments as we go along, but I'm feeling pretty good about what we've got for you. Up next, Robert Wyatt with Just As You Are from Comic Opera. I really like that record.
you need a break, so let's just run away. Well, I'm tired of Code and Pearl, and I'm tired of VBA. Maggie, throw your law books away. Turn on, tune in, drop out, give up with me. Now picture this. Shopping in town for a homemade agrarian fortress. You're texting Corey and Grant in a tile kitchenette in the gun nest. Well, we'll find the little meadow high up in the Cascades. Baby, we won't ever come down. Turn on, tune in, drop out, give up with me. Turn on, tune in, drop out with me. The whole thing's coming down, so let's just get out of the way. Well, I'm not paranoid, there is no conspiracy, but I swear Big Brother's watching me. Turn on, tune in, drop out, give up with me. So you're serving up the seats to the low. Herbalist militia. In camouflage, you're perfect, the locals still call you Morticia. Well, we'll find the little meadow high up in the Cascades. Baby, we won't ever come down. Turn on, tune in, drop out, give up with me.
It's important to make sure your family has a plan in case of an emergency. We talked to this family to see if each of them knew where to meet if they were not together when something happened.
Okay, so if a natural disaster happened and we were outside the home, we would all meet at the park. That's our meeting point. That's where we would say, go here, this is safe, Dad will be here. We meet there, we'll be fine.
Well, we would probably just meet out in front of the house.
I'm meeting place at our neighbor's house because she is my mom's good friend.
We all have a meeting spot, which is a bus stop. The reason for the bus stop is simply because nobody's going to be there. No buses, no people. There's probably going to be no traffic there. And it's a location that's in the middle of all three schools, so we can safely meet there, safely and quickly.
Is your plan any better? To learn more about making an emergency plan for your family, visit ReadyVirginia.gov. Brought to you by the Commonwealth of Virginia, the U.S. Department of Homeland Security, and the Ad Council.
The sun is a mass of incandescent gas, a gigantic nuclear furnace. where hydrogen is built into helium at a temperature of millions of degrees. Yo-ho, it's hot. The sun is not a place where we could live. But here on Earth there'd be no life without the light it gives. We need its light, we need its heat, we need its energy. Without the sun, without a doubt, there'd be no you and me. The sun is a mass of incandescent gas, a gigantic nuclear furnace, where hydrogen is built into helium at a temperature of millions of degrees. The sun is hot.
It is so hot that everything on it is a gas: iron, copper, aluminum, and many others.
The sun is large.
If the sun were hollow, a million Earths could fit inside, and yet the sun is only a middle-sized star.
The sun is far away.
About 93 million miles away. And that's why it looks so small.
And even when it's out of sight, the sun shines night and day. The sun gives heat, the sun gives light, the sunlight that we see. The sunlight comes from our own sun's atomic energy.
Scientists have found that the sun is a huge atom-smashing machine. The heat and light of the sun come from the nuclear reactions of hydrogen, carbon, nitrogen, and helium.
The sun is a mass of incandescent gas, a gigantic nuclear furnace, where hydrogen is built into helium at a temperature of millions of degrees.
Of incandescent plasma. The sun's not simply made out of gas. No, no, no. The sun is a quagmire. It's not made of fire. Forget what you've been told in the past.
Plasma.
Electrons are free.
Plasma.
Our state of matter, not gas. Not liquid, not solid.
You're listening to WRAR 97.3 FM, Richmond Independent Radio, the City of Richmond's official emergency broadcast outlet. I am P. Swan, and this program is Can't Stop the Music. We concluded that set from Leonard Nimoy and William Shatner's early recording Spaced Out with Music to Watch Space Girls By, which was brought to mind because listening to Science Friday on Friday, They Might Be Giants were featured talking about their new record, Here Comes Science, and they revealed that their song that they've been covering all these years, Why Does the Sun Shine, which is so associated with them, actually came off of a group of records that I have, Tom Glaser and Dottie Evans's Space Song. So that'll teach you, me to listen more carefully to all my stuff there. So anyway, we had the original, Why Does the Sun Shine, and then They Might Be Giants explaining in their new version, Why Does the Sun Really Shine, the truth that's been revealed by science since the 60s when the original Tom Glaser recordings were made. Started out with Robert Wyatt and had a cracker from their new record, Comic Opera, Turn On, Drop Out with me. So tonight is the, whoever is calling, I will speak with you shortly if you call back. But you probably don't even know I'm speaking because that's why you're calling now. But, you know, we all need forgiveness, which is what I was going to talk about. Young Kippur is tonight, and that closes the days of awe and the Jewish New Year, and kind of people have to settle down and come to terms with their transgressions and their aspirations and their fears. And, you know, for some people, they turn to a higher power, and other people turn to space or science. And so, you know, we're gonna look at Martians because, you know, if they're there, they may have something to say to us. So Louis Prima up next.
My baby's gone on a trip to the moon, and she won't be back too soon. She doesn't write me and I can't sleep. All I hear from her is, my baby's up in a rocket machine. Since she left, she ain't been seen. She doesn't call me and I can't sleep. All I hear from her is, I wonder if means I miss you, or maybe means I want to kiss you. I'm hoping that means I love you, and she's coming down to earth again. My baby's high in the stratosphere, I'm so low cause I'm down here. My love for her is gonna keep till she comes back and whispers. I wonder if means I miss you, and maybe means I want to kiss you. I'm hoping that means I love you, and she's coming down to earth again. My baby's fooling around with a satellite, now you know that that ain't right. My love for her is gonna keep till she comes back and whispers. My baby's fooling around with some space cat. That chick don't know where she's at. She better come on down here to earth and groove. I ain't gonna move. Oh, lay that sound on me, honey.
Discovered an important note from space. The Martians plan to throw a dance for all the human race.
Me, to warn you all, oh dear. You may not share our intellect, which might explain your disrespect for all the natural wonders that grow around you. So long, so long, and thanks for all the fish.
Spend so much time caring for the land, Mom.
When he's taking care of the land, he's really taking care of us.
How?
He wants us to have clean water to drink, fresh air to breathe, wildlife to enjoy, and he wants to leave this land better than he found it.
Sounds like Daddy loves us a lot.
He sure does.
Conservation, there's something in it for you.
Call or visit your local USDA Service Center. Brought to you by the Natural Resources Conservation Service.
Man in space. All you have to do is listen to the way a man sometimes talks to his wife at a table of people, and notice how intent he is on making his point, even though her lower lip is beginning to quiver. And you will know why the women in science fiction movies who inhabit a planet of their own are not pictured making a salad or reading a magazine when the men from Earth arrive in their rocket. Why they are always standing in a semicircle with their arms folded, their bare legs set apart, their breasts protected by hard metal discs.
Never venture into space, but I did, I did, I did. She said no Terran girl could trust the Martian race, but I did, I did, I did. A rocket pilot asked me on a voyage to go, and I was so romantic I just couldn't say no. That he was just a servo robot, how was I to know? So I did, I did, I did. My papa told me never trust a space engineer, but I did, I did, I did. He said free fall and super drive
life would surely cost me dear. And they did, they did, they did. I've been as far in hyperspace as anybody can. I've traveled through the time warp in the psycho plan. They say a gal must travel for to find her Superman. So I did, I did, I did. They warned me not to go around among the asteroids, but I did, I did, I did. They said I'd make those class three mutants dreadfully annoyed, and I did, I did, I did. They said that Saturn was too hot, Venus not much fun, and bug-eyed monsters tended to be just a trifle dumb. They said I'd need a blaster and a needle freezer gun, and I did, I did, I did. They said to find a man out there and try to settle down. So I did, I did, I did. They said my kids might grow up one-eyed, green, or bald around, and they did, they did, they did. My cosmic husband died of mumps 100 years ago. My daughter's in the Milky Way, a-tracking down a bow. And I'm so old and doddering, I've nothing for to show. But I did, I did, I did.
My favorite Peggy Seeger song, all about self-affirmation, huh? Space Girl song. Billy Collins, the former poet laureate with Man in Space. Neil Harmon from the soundtrack of Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, the movie, not the TV show or the books or the books on CD. So long and thanks for all the fish. The Rebops with the Martian Hop and Beep Beep from Louis Prima start us off. It's 10:20. You are listening to Can't Stop the Music, where we reach into the greatest corners of the galaxy to bring you all that you need to hear on a Sunday night. Yeah, you know, it's what culture's dumping at your doorstep that you need to hear. So we're going to have a little Can't Stop the Music testimonial here. And there was a 2-record, 4-side set of a audio program about real life UFO encounters, and you know, I'm not going to dedicate a whole hour of my show to it, but 23 minutes seemed appropriate. So what I've got for you next is true life stories, including Jimmy Carter talking about UFO encounters. If you have any questions, check the playlist, and if you have anything nice to say, give me a call.
There was an enormous football-shaped glowing object hovering a very short distance above the ground.
It got bigger and bigger and bigger, and the next thing we knew, it was right over us, you know. And the light was so bright, you know, then it stopped at treetop level.
I thought it was doomsday. I really did. I didn't know what to expect after seeing 2 more in the field across from my house. I didn't know if it was an invasion or what.
A hatch opened up from the underside of the craft. A tube came down, and a platform slid down. So this being comes down and walks over to the front of the patrol car.
They were bald, no hair, no eyebrows, no eyelashes, and no earlobes, no ear, you know, we could say. Very large eyes, very small, flat nose, thin slit for mouth.
I saw this thing and I just came unglued.
Since 1947, thousands of people around the world have become more and more aware of a bizarre phenomenon we have come to know as unidentified flying objects. UFO encounters have been reported by citizens in all walks of life, including the President of the United States, Jimmy Carter.
There were about 20 of us standing outside of a little restaurant, I believe, a high school lunchroom, and a kind of a green light appeared in the western sky. This was right after sundown. And it got brighter and brighter, and then eventually it disappeared. It was not, didn't have any solid substance to it. It was just a very peculiar-looking light. None of us could understand what it was. I've never made fun of people who've seen other things of that kind.
Years have passed since the widespread UFO sightings of the post-World War II era, and yet the phenomenon is still very much with us. Dr. J. Allen Hynek, acknowledged to be the world's foremost authority on UFOs, has been investigating this enigma since 1948 as a consultant to the Air Force, and since 1973 as the founder and director of the Center for UFO Studies in Evanston, Illinois. Investigative Research Associates has been proud to have Dr. Hynek direct this project to prepare the first completely factual documentary on UFOs.
The UFO phenomenon is truly a phenomenon of our times. It is an extremely puzzling one and calls forth a wide spectrum of opinions. No matter what one may think about UFOs, no matter what one may believe about them, whether it is all nonsense or whether they represent something very, very real, three facts stand out, three facts which no one can deny. The first is that UFO reports exist. Secondly, that UFO reports come from all over the world. And the third is that many are made by highly responsible people, often scientifically trained. We scientists have no positive proof yet of the origin or even of the reality of these strange reported craft. But we do know that the reports themselves are very real. To find the answer to this magnificent scientific puzzle, the UFO phenomenon, we need to approach it with a truly open mind so we can explore all possible avenues of explanation. This record will allow you to hear the actual witnesses describe their UFO encounters, to listen to the experts give their opinions, and to explain their hypotheses, and to allow you to make your own decision. In the final analysis, you must be the judge. Are we alone?
UFO sightings can be traced to biblical times, at least according to some interpretations of the writings of the prophet Ezekiel and his flying wheel. Ancient cave drawings of strange flying craft have been discovered by archaeologists. Rumors and legends of UFOs persisted throughout the Middle Ages, and the famous 18th century poet Goethe even included a report of his personal UFO sighting in his autobiography. Waves of UFO sightings were reported in the press during the latter 19th and early 20th centuries, but few have taken the phenomenon seriously. The first official United States investigation of UFOs began in 1943, when World War II pilots began relating tales of fiery objects in the night sky, moving at tremendous speeds, even pacing their own aircraft for miles. Military flyers in the European theater termed them Foo Fighters, Foo being the French word for fire. Now retired Air Force Major Paul Deutsch describes an encounter his crew had over Japan.
The particular one that my crew saw was an orange-red color, and it paced our aircraft for miles and miles off the left horizontal stabilizer. We don't know how far off. It's very difficult to determine. This was a night raid. Everything was blackness all around us, except the fires burning down below. And we were on a bomb run into Sasebo, Japan. And so the top gunner, who had control of all the guns in the back of this B-29 bomber, fired a burst. The tracers were seen to go directly toward it, but nothing happened. And then after a short period of time, this thing detached itself from the position it held and made a kind of a diving, sweeping movement, which took it under our aircraft and off to the right and forward so that we up front could see it. And it's at that time that I saw it. And it was just a big blob of in terms today, we'd probably call it ionized gas. It ran shivers up and down our spines. We thought it was a Japanese secret device, probably developed by the Germans. And I might add that the fellows over in the European theater thought it was a German device, and the Germans thought it was an Allied secret weapon, and everybody thought it was somebody else's. No one knew what it was.
Post-war conferences confirmed the mystery of the Foo Fighters. They were no one's secret weapon. The first of several waves of UFO sightings by the general public began in Sweden during the summer of 1946. On June 24, 1947, an experienced search and rescue pilot named Kenneth Arnold took off from a small airstrip in Chehalis, Washington, on a search for the wreckage of a missing C-46 military transport plane said to have gone down in the rough terrain of Mount Rainier with 32 Marines on board.
I had reached the altitude of about 9,200 feet when a very brilliant flash lit the sky around me and actually lit up the airplane that I was flying. And I could see way off to the right, coming in the vicinity of Mount Baker, a whole chain-like string of of aircraft coming at a tremendous speed. I could see plainly that they didn't have any tails. I had never seen aircraft of that kind. And I made a quick judgment that they must be approximately 100 foot in their wingspan. And the first unit or first craft flew at a higher altitude than the last. And, of course, this is completely reversed from our normal flight patterns. I had a good fix with Mount Adams, and I thought I'd try to clock their speed between Mount Rainier and Mount Adams. Pretty soon they approached Mount Adams. I got a good look at them. One particularly, the second from the last one, seemed a little larger and had a definite wraith-like shape, though, however, when they were flashing and flipping, they seemed circular. But as they left the southernmost ridge of Mount Adams, I looked at my sweep second hand, and they had covered that distance, which is approximately 50 miles, in a minute and 42 seconds.
Arnold calculated the speed of the craft at an astounding 1,700 miles per hour. He abandoned his search for the military wreckage and flew on to Pendleton, Oregon, where he reported what he had seen to the Air Force. Arnold didn't think the objects he had seen were extraterrestrial craft, despite press accounts which labeled them as such. Ironically, however, it was Arnold himself who was responsible for the development of the two words which are still used to describe the phenomenon.
Bill Brachette, who was a United Press reporter, he asked me, he said, well, how did they fly? So I told him, I says, well, they flew very erratically, like boats on rough water, they would skip and sail and give off these flashes. You take a saucer and you skip it across the water, and it's erratic. And this is how the name Flying Saucer was born. However, I did not say they were saucer-shaped.
The spectacular Arnold sighting and thousands of subsequent UFO reports led the Central Intelligence Agency to convene a top-secret scientific panel chaired by Dr. H.P. Robertson, noted scientist and relativity expert. The Robertson panel's conclusion? That UFO reports were more dangerous to national security than the unlikely existence of purported extraterrestrial craft. The findings of the Robertson panel greatly influenced the Air Force's Project Blue Book, which was created to make official probes into UFO incidents. Dr. J. Allen Hynek was Blue Book's scientific advisor.
Project Blue Book largely operated under the theorem, you might say, it can't be, therefore it isn't. They would, for instance, talk about certain cases being possible balloons, possible aircraft, possible stars. And at the end, when they made up the statistics at the end of the year, all those little words of possible and probable were dropped. But never once did they call a case a possible or probable UFO. There couldn't be such things as UFOs, therefore there couldn't be a possible UFO. Despite that, there were nearly 700 cases which remained unexplained.
Colonel Robert Friend, who directed Project Blue Book from 1958 to 1963, has this to add.
I believe that there is room for further pursuit. While I was conducting that program, I guess that I thought constantly of what I should do in investigating, or exactly how I should react, for instance, if I was to come, say, face to face with some being. I wouldn't really know how to act. And the other thing is that when I read today where people say that, you know, there's no evidence. Okay. And that doesn't necessarily mean that there was not evidence there. What it means is that those of us who investigated the things may not have had what it took at that time to recognize it.
In 1966, the government set up a Blue Ribbon Scientific Committee to study the Enigma. 2 years later, its chairman, Dr. Edward Condon, professor of physics at the University of Colorado, issued his summary stating that UFOs merited no further governmental attention. This despite the fact that the Condon report itself failed to explain more than a quarter of the cases it examined. Nevertheless, that study led to the official termination of government involvement in UFO research. By far the most sensational UFO incidents are those known as close encounter cases. Dr. Hynek has divided them into three categories.
Close encounters of the first kind are close, sufficiently close, say about 500 feet or less, sometimes very much less, so close that there's no question about the person seeing details on it, the portholes or lights or markings or protrusions. In other words, so that there's virtually no chance of a close encounter having been the result of seeing Venus or seeing a twinkling star.
On a clear, warm summer night, just north of Los Angeles, in the small community of Simi Valley, California, police officer Melvin Stewart was casually patrolling in his cruiser. It was Saturday evening, August 13, 1977. The sun had just dipped below the horizon when Officer Stewart's attention was caught by a strange light in the still darkening sky.
I was on patrol working as a plainclothes unit, which is a non-marked car. And about 9 o'clock, or around about that time, I observed a what appeared to be an aircraft having problems coming towards me. I was driving eastbound on Los Angeles Avenue, and I observed what appeared to be an aircraft having problems dropping fiery, like molten metal or whatever, from it. And the molten metal was dissipating, you know, the heat was dissipating before it hit the ground. There was a lot of light coming from, almost like an aircraft landing light. I didn't see any marking lights on it, but just a bright light and this orangey flame. And it lost sight of it, as if it crashed. And I put a broadcast out to the possible aircraft down in the area of the Simi Valley Airport. We checked the area and found nothing.
Almost simultaneously, Simi Valley Administrative Assistant Bob Hunt was driving in his car.
We were coming home from dinner over in the San Fernando Valley and coming on the Simi Valley Freeway and reached the crest, which is the county line right at the top, and noticed what I thought to be an airplane in the top left-hand corner of the windshield. Had blue and red lights, which is pretty common for an aircraft, and I really didn't pay it all that much attention to it, feeling that it was that. I was continue the conversation with the people I had in the car. And as it reached about the middle of what was our windshield, I noticed that it dropped dramatically. Now, I can't really say how far it dropped, but I know it went from approximately the top of the windshield to the bottom of it in a matter of, well, faster than you can blink an eye. At the bottom, when it dropped like it did, it suddenly did an unusual loop at the bottom. And that obviously, coupled with the drop, caught my attention. It seemed to hover for a matter of maybe 1 or 2 seconds. And then was out of sight within 2 or 3 seconds, which was a lot faster than it had been traveling originally. And that right there made me pause to stop and think perhaps it was not an aircraft after all.
Nearly an hour later, two police cars were dispatched to investigate reports of an unusual object hovering less than 200 feet over the intersection of Los Angeles Avenue and Airedale Street. A short chase ensued to the freeway interchange, at which time other police officers arrived on the scene, including policewoman Linda Nesbitt.
The UFO, once it reached the area of 118, which is a freeway, and First Street, it ascended. And it did so with great speed, more than you would envision the norm. And it remained stationary for great periods of time, longer than I would ever envision a helicopter or anything of that nature staying stationary. We were using our red lights
in our aircraft landing lights, which is a spotlight, and pointing them or directing them at the UFO. And it was reacting to it audibly on occasion, and it did make a movement towards the lights. As we turned the light off, then it would return to its original position and remain stationary again. But it was reactive to the lights, which seemed unusual to me.
Minutes later, Officer Stewart arrived and confirmed that it was the same object he had seen earlier. Officer Nesbitt remembers the sound the craft made as it moved overhead.
It wasn't a whoosh or anything like that. It was, I guess you would have to describe it as kind of a hum, beepy, like the conventional noises that you would associate with a craft in the movie. Really, it was. That's the kind of noise it was. But it was very distant.
September 9th is a date Bill Pecka will never forget. It's his wife Linda's birthday. And September 9th, 1976, was the day of Bill Pecka's close encounter with a UFO. The Peckas live on a farm just outside Colusa, California, about 100 miles north of San Francisco. That evening, Bill had been up late, having come home from town after buying Linda a birthday present, and then doing some welding in the auto shop behind his house. Around 11 o'clock, Bill went inside to watch the late movie on television. The TV Western was interrupted by an experience even stranger than fiction.
I was watching this Western movie, and the TV really messed up. And then it went out. So I was laying on the couch there, and I looked out the window of the shop to see if the nightlight was on, and it wasn't. So I thought maybe I might have blown a fuse in the shop. So I was going to just go out and check things out until I went out the door. And I felt quite a bit of electrical shock, a tingle. And I looked up, and this is when I seen the huge object on above my house and over parts of the barn. I judged it to be at least 150 feet across it. It was saucer-shaped with a high dome. It was very shiny underneath. It was a porcelain-type finish. And I was getting a tremendous shock all over my whole body. My hair was standing up, and I had electrical static feeling over my hair on my arms and my head. And as it moved out over the field, I could start seeing more portions of the top half, which was dome-shaped, and concaves on the side of the dome. Sort of like a lemon squeezer. And as it went out over the field very quietly, which is probably about 50 feet off the ground, I spotted two more in the distance on power lines. Apparently, to me, that looked like they were absorbing electricity of some way, because there was brilliant red lights with a purplish light in the center of it, a jerky sort of light coming back. Looked like it was going back to the ship, like they were drawing energy from the power line. I thought it was Doomsday. I really did. I didn't know what to expect after seeing two more in the field across from my house. I didn't know if it was an invasion or what.
When the object slowly moved away, Pecka raced back into the house to wake his family, hoping to get them away before it came back. Linda Pecka tells of the frantic activities that followed.
He was standing at the doorway screaming at me to get up. We got to get out of here. It's going to get us. And so I got up and I came down the hallway. The window shade was down. He pulled it back and he told me to look. And I looked out there and it was pitch black when I first looked. And by now, he's got a hold of me, and he's shaking me, and he's screaming at me, which Bill doesn't scream. I mean, he's just hysterical is the way I can explain the way he was. And he keeps telling me, we got to get the kids out of here. It's going to get us. And I didn't see anything. So I looked again, and all of a sudden, I saw this real, like a real bright light. And I still didn't know what I was looking at. I didn't know what had scared him. But after looking at the way he was and looking at what I saw, I knew I better listen to him. So I went down the hallway and grabbed my daughter. And I came back to the hallway and went out the front door, and he had grabbed our son by then. And he got to the front door, and I heard him, and he hollered, oh my God, it's going to see us. The power came back on. Apparently the TV set came back on. Here, he's screaming, it's going to get us, and he starts to pick up, and he backs up, and when he puts it in reverse, the lights come on, the backup lights. And he's screaming again, oh my God, it's going to see us. So he took off down the road, no headlights on, and the light, I don't know whether it was from the moon or whether it was from this thing or what it was, but it was, I mean, you could see where you're going without the headlights on. But still, it scared him. He had the pickup going as fast as it could go. So we got to the railroad tracks, and he's screaming, "I got to get to Les's house." And Les and Gail Aaron are friends of ours who, I don't know, maybe because they're the closest friends on that road, but he squealed in their driveway. And Gail was up. She told us later the power had gone off and her air conditioner was off.
Gail Aaron, the Pecca's neighbor, picks up the story.
Our puppy was new, and we'd only had him a couple days, and he was crying, so I got up to feed him. And when I got up, then I noticed our clock was out. We have a clock radio. And then I tried all the lights, and they were all out. And I glanced out the windows and noticed everything was really dark. And about the time I, you know, got back in the kitchen, then I heard this pickup driving very fast. And I thought it was just some kid fooling around like they usually do.
But Gail discovered she was wrong when she answered a knock on her front door.
Bill Peck was at the door and yelling to me, "Look up in the sky." And he was kind of hysterical. Anyway, I looked up in the sky, and there was this large object. Round, reminded me of a cup and saucer, with a cup upside down, going through the sky, very bright light on the bottom. The whole top of it was, you couldn't see anything inside, but you could see the outline of the whole object. It was going through the sky, not really, it didn't seem to be going really fast. After a while, it just darted straight up in the air.
Both couples watched the huge object for some time, until it finally left, moving across the town of Colusa and then disappearing at a tremendous rate of speed. The electric power had been off for 9 minutes in Colusa and two other nearby areas that evening, and local utilities have still not been able to explain why.
Well, that's all for now. You know, maybe we'll play more of that. So what do you think? Truth? Hysteria? You be the judge. It's all laid out there for you to decide. UFO Encounters is told on the radio. You are listening to Can't Stop the Music. It is 10:45, where we bring you all the information that's fit to broadcast, whether or not we agree with it. You are listening to WRAR 97.3 FM. I'm going to be here 15 more minutes and then turn you over to Mixtape. But, you know, when I was putting this show together, and I had once again pulled out some rants by Francis E. Deck, and I'm listening to him, I was thinking, man, not only is he just completely wound up, but he really sounds a lot like some of these guys going to these public forums and these tea parties. And, you know, I'll just let you be the judge of it. For those who don't know, Francis E. Deck was, who's deceased now, lived on Long Island, was an attorney, got disbarred, went to jail for 5 years for larceny and, fraud. And was a schizophrenic and had some serious paranoid anger and a belief that the government was really out to get him. And after being released from jail and living with his brother until his brother moved out, he wanted to have his case overturned, and that didn't get any place, and he didn't get a retrial, and he started writing what was more than 1,000 letters that consisted of information, which where he's talking about, let's see if I can get the phrase exactly right. Let me see here. Yeah, talking about the worldwide mad, deadly communist gangster computer god. These were being written in the 60s and the 70s, and eventually a DJ from KRQ, a guy named Doc Britton, made some recordings of these. So the voice you hear is not Francis Deck, and it's this DJ who has become the embodiment of Francis E. Deck. These are clearly not the opinions of WRAR, Can't Stop the Music, or Peace One, but I hold it out there as a cultural artifact, and like so many artifacts, they don't really go out of style. Hold on to your hats.
Look at the picture. See the skull, the part. part of bone removed. The Master Race Frankenstein radio controls the Brain Thoughts broadcasting radio, the EyeSight television, the Frankenstein earphone radio, the Threshold brainwash radio, the latest new skull reforming to contain all Frankenstein controls, even in thin skulls of white pedigree males. Visible Frankenstein controls, the synthetic nerve radio directional antenna loop. Make copies for yourself. There is no escape from this worse gangster police state using all of the deadly gangster Frankenstein controls. In 1965, CIA gangster police beat me bloody, dragged me in chains from Kennedy, New York Airport. Since then, I hide in forced jobless poverty, isolated, alone, in this low, deadly niggertown old house. The brazen, deadly gangster police and nigger puppet underlings spray me with poison nerve gas from automobile exhausts and even lawnmowers. Deadly assaults, even in my yard, with knives. Even bricks and stones, even deadly touch Tabin or electric shock flashlights, even remote electronically controlled around corners projection of deadly touch tarantula spiders, or even bloody murder accidents to shut me up forever with a sneak undetectable extermination, even with trained parroting puppet assassins in maximum security insanity prison for writing these unforgivable truths until my undetectable extermination I, Francis E. Deck Esquire, 29 Maple Avenue, Hempstead, New York, I stand alone against your mad, deadly, worldwide conspiratorial gangster computer god communism with wall-to-wall deadly gangster protection, lifelong sworn conspirators, murder incorporated organized crime, the police and judges, the deadly sneak parroting puppet gangsters using all the gangster deadly Frankenstein controls, these hangman rope sneak deadly gangsters, the judges and the police trick, trap, rob, wreck, butcher, and murder the people to keep them terrorized in gangster Frankenstein earphone radio slavery for the communist gangster government and con artist parroting puppet gangster playboy scum on top. The secret work of all police in order to maintain a communist closed society. The same worldwide mad deadly communist gangster computer god that controls you as a terrorized gangster Frankenstein earphone radio slave, parroting puppet, you are a terrorized member of the master race worldwide, 4 billion EyeSight television camera guinea pig, communist gangster computer god, master race. You're living, thinking, mad, deadly, worldwide communist gangster computer god secret overall plan. Worldwide living death Frankenstein slavery to explore and control the entire universe with the endless stairway to the stars, namely the man-made inside-out planets with nucleonic-powered speeds much faster than the speed of light. Look up and see the gangster computer god concocted new fake starry sky, the worldwide completely controlled deadly degenerative climate and atmosphere through the new world-round translucent exotic gaseous envelope, which the worldwide communist gangster computer god manipulates through countless exactly positioned satellites, the new fake phony stars in the synthetic sky for ages before Frankenstein controls apoidic niggers interbreedable with apes had no alphabet, not even numerals. Slavery conspiracy over 300 years ago. Ideally tiny-brained apoidic nigger gangster government eyesight TV gangster spy cameras. Computer god new world order degeneration with gifted with all gangster Frankenstein controls. Nigger deadly gangster parroting puppets or nigger brain programmed robots. Deadly ape Frankenstein machines. Degenerative disease to eternal Frankenstein slavery. Overall plan through one world communism. Top secret code word, meaning worldwide absolutely helpless and hopeless, simple language, mongrel, mulatto, apoidic niggers. Worldwide systematic instant plastic surgery, butchery murder, fake aging so all people are dead or useless by age 70, done at night to you as a Frankenstein slave, parroting puppet gangster slave. Now even you know I am a menace to your worldwide mad deadly communist gangster computer god. Therefore I must go to extermination before I am exterminated by this gangster computer god concocted and controlled worst mongrel organized crime murder incorporated gangster communist government. I hand you the secrets to save the entire human race and the entire universe.
donate money or even a manual typewriter to me for your only hope for a future.
Got a gig on the radio from 10 a.m. to 2. I attack my country's enemies like the damned ACLU. And tree huggers and pinko rats and feminists and Democrats and every other threat to the old red, white and blue. I love my gig on the radio, I've got a lot of fans. They call me up and kiss my butt and tell me I'm the man. The other ones who don't agree, my screeners, keep away from me. To hell with all of them, they're not true Americans. I'm the voice of the people, a voice with manly tone. I've got 50,000 watts and a great big microphone. My hero is Rush Limbaugh, my enemy the left. I demonize the liberals, take home a big paycheck. My audience is buying and I'm always there to sell. Diet pills, gutter guards, some youth reviving gel. And timeshare opportunities in Panama and Belize. And a male enhancement product with the brand name Rebel Yell. Each day I use the microphone to blast the leftist creeps. The Clintons and Jane Fonda, Dixie Chicks and Meryl Streep. And though to war I didn't go, I was 4F if you must know. I like to dress in camouflage and drive an armored jeep. I'm the voice of the people, righteous and outraged. Invoking God and country and a freeze on minimum wage. Pull yourself up by your bootstraps, do what's good and right. And speaking of straps and boots, I might get a hooker for tonight.
Everything belongs to someone. Television, radio, Motorola radio in the dashboard of a car, boat, an airplane, motorcycle, motor scooter, motorbike, ice skates, skis, heater in the car, magic carpet. That's all. What else?
Sofa, bed, warm blanket.
Clock, food, smoking pipes. I can't think of anything else. Automobile, bicycle, shirt,
belt,
cigarette lighter, water fountain, bubbler, chewing gum, chewing tobacco, pipe tobacco, eyeglasses, hat, cap, ring on your finger, wristwatch, cigarette holder, cigarette pack in your shirt pocket,
mustache, shoes, sneakers, bedroom slippers,
brown corduroy bedroom slippers, ring! I already said ring.
Fountain pen!
Ballpoint pen! A barber shears to cut men's hair. A washing machine that automatically washes your laundry for you like in a laundromat. That's all. That's all I can think of. I'm going to get a drink of water now.
Madurian's List, by rendered by David Greenberger and Three Leg Torso. David Greenberger, as you remember, is the cultural consultant there at the Duplex Planet. Before that, John Butler with Voice of the People. And Francis Deck telling you, well, actually a DJ impersonating Francis Deck, telling you a lot about nothing except himself. And have a good week. I'll be back next week with Cliff Baldwin and a special edition of Can't Stop the Music. We will be delighted to have Cliff here. He had collaborated with Davy Dead Thompson, so a number of Richmonders have seen his artwork. You can see him at some of his stuff at cliffbaldwin.com. We'll have lots of posts and information next week, and we're going to play some of Cliff's music, collaborations he's done, found sounds, and just general things that interest him. So he is a perfect guest for Can't Stop the Music, and I'm really looking forward to it. It's 10:57. You are listening to WRAR 97.3 FM, Richmond Independent Radio, the city of Richmond's official emergency broadcast outlet. As I said, I'm Peace One, and have a good week. And for those of you who are observing on Kippur, an easy fast. I'm going to leave you with Leonard Nimoy and some words of wisdom, Spock's thoughts.
Go placidly amid the noise and haste, and remember what peace there may be in silence. As far as possible, without surrender, be on good terms with all persons. Speak your truth quietly and clearly, and listen to others, even the dull and ignorant. They too have their story. Avoid loud and aggressive persons. They are vexations to the spirit. If you compare yourself with others, you may become vain and bitter, for always there will be greater and lesser persons than yourself. Enjoy your achievements as well as your plans. Keep interested in your own career, however humble. It is a real possession in the changing fortunes of time. Exercise caution in your business affairs, for the world is full of trickery. But let this not blind you to what virtue there is. Many persons strive for high ideals, and everywhere life is full of heroism. Be yourself, especially do not feign affection. Neither be cynical about love, for in the face of all aridity and disenchantment, it is perennial as the grass. Take kindly the counsel of the years, gracefully surrendering the things of youth. Nurture strength of spirit to shield you in sudden misfortune. But do not distress yourself with imaginings. Many fears are born of fatigue and loneliness. Beyond a wholesome discipline, be gentle with yourself. You are a child of the universe, no less than the trees and the stars. You have a right to be here. And whether or not it is clear to you, no doubt the universe is unfolding as it should. Therefore, be at peace with God, whatever you conceive him to be, and whatever your labors and aspirations, in the noisy confusion of life, keep peace with your soul, with all its sham, drudgery, and broken dreams. It is still a beautiful world. Be careful. Strive.